Welcome to Guy Next Door Speaks. I'm your host, Ivan from Phoenix. My website is www.freeyourmindaz.com. Today is Wednesday, October 23rd, 2013. It's been a few months since the last podcast. Episode 3 was with Mark Passio, and today I'm recording episode 4. This will probably be a quick, short episode. Since the last episode, I did a move, so that kind of took up a little bit of time there, taking everything down and then resetting up at the new place. But for the most part, these podcasts aren't as easy as they appear to put out. Unless you're a good bullshit talker and you can just go rambling on, then you can have, you know, make these shows pretty quickly, pretty easily. But as far as I go, I try to just write down notes and to have some kind of format, an order or somewhat to put out there. But I think I kind of simplified it pretty quickly, pretty easily in the first two podcasts, that the main idea got pretty much just put across. And then having Mark on episode 3, that was kind of like the culmination, because he was the one that pretty much kicked me in the butt to start doing these things. But anyway, I will still try and put whatever information I can out there. There is a lot of information out there. I know these podcasts are heard by folks who are already familiar with the information, as well as newcomers, new listeners who aren't too familiar with the information. I don't claim to have all the answers. I don't know as much as other listeners, people who are already familiar with this, perhaps, but I'll probably know quite a bit more, or a lot more, than someone who's never come across this information. So that's, I guess, the balance, the tightrope I gotta walk between, I guess. But anyway, so this is episode 4. Today's Wednesday, October 23rd. It's been a while since I did one of these podcasts. I have a few notes here. I'll try and go through these a little quickly, because today is a work day. I go into work later on this evening. I have a few hours, but I decided to just go for it and lay down a track here today and put up a podcast. All right. Recently, I just was in Connecticut for an all-day seminar presented by Mark Passio, Natural Law and the Real Law of Attraction. And he spoke for about 10 hours, so it was a pretty long day. Lots of information, a lot of stuff I had already come across through his previous work, and a few new things. So that was pretty good. That was very good. I recorded it on my camera, and it came out not so blurry, not so sharp, because I recorded the whole thing on one memory stick, so the quality, I just recorded it at the lower quality, because that's pretty much just for my own personal use to watch here, maybe share with a few people from the meetup groups. But Richard Grove was there, and he did have his professional equipment and recorded the whole event, so hopefully in a few weeks or a month or so, that should be online somewhere. As far as event announcements, I don't have any meetups scheduled right now, right away, but you can always just go to the website and click on the tab for meetups, and that'll show you whatever current meetups I announce, or you can just go to the meetup website also, meetups.com, and enter Free Your Mind AZ, and you can find whatever events we have announced on there too. Okay, let's see. Notes that I have written down here real quick, pretty much just explain why it's been a few months, and combination of just procrastination, laziness, the middle of moving also, but then also I kind of, it's kind of hard putting this information out there in a way, because through the meetups, the meetups that I go to, that I hold, I come across people that appear to be like-minded, claim to be like-minded, but yet they're not. Not everyone's on the same page, and not everyone has the same information. So that, I guess, is the great work, and that's what makes it difficult, is to try and share with people things they don't know, even though they think they already know everything or that they have a full picture. And that's the problem. It's not just one thing. It's a lot of things. But actually, let me take that back. There is one overarching problem, one main cause, and I think I know what that is. That's one of the things Mark Passio has covered on his full day seminar and on his podcast also. By the way, that's at whatonearthishappening.com. I highly recommend listeners who aren't familiar with Mark Passio's work to go to that website, whatonearthishappening.com, and go to his podcast page and begin with podcast episode number 1 at your leisure. He has so far to date about 144 of them, so that's a lot of information, but he has it set up in a certain tapestry, so it's kind of like baby steps. All right, teaches you the alphabets in a way, and then how to form the words, and then the sentences, and then you pretty much get the big picture. So there is an answer there, and this natural law seminar pretty much nailed it. And the problem is pretty much we're the problem. All right, our thinking that we're programmable, that's the main thing, is that humanity is a species that's programmable, all right, and we're not aware of that. And the powers that should not be, or the dark occultists, they are aware of that. That's where that word occult comes from again. It's that hidden knowledge. So they know this. They know that humanity is programmable. So I know some of you people, the new listeners, might be saying, I'm not programmable. But yeah, it's true. We're not born. I mentioned this before. We're not born knowing everything. So whatever information we take in that forms our perceptions, our beliefs, our opinions, our ways of looking at things. So if we're not aware of that, then that can be influenced and by what we learn, how we learn it, and what to think about what we learn. So if we don't have any control over that, then we pretty much can be manipulated, and that's also known as mind control. I had a good example of this the other weekend. I noticed it. I've known of this for a little while, but I really saw the manifestation of it at the movie theaters. I was at the concession stand ordering some stuff, and I can tell, I just looked at the cashier register as I put in my order, how she was running the program of getting the items I asked for. You know, she knew where to get the soda, the popcorn, how to do this, how to do that. So she was running this program, and that really stood out for me. You know, and that's not something she was born with. That's not something she wanted. That's just something that her condition, her situation, presented her with that. That's the program she was running. And I had two similar things that occurred previously before that at burger place. I won't give all the details, but I'll give a general idea. So I was at this burger place. The guy behind the counter was very knowledgeable of the menu. You know, this kind of burger comes with this, comes with that. We can do this, we can do that. Very detailed, very, very good. Now, when it came time to pay, I gave him a certain amount of money. And when it came time for him to give me back the change, he gave me back the wrong change. All right, and it was a big gap, big discrepancy. So that right there showed me that even though he was well trained, his program as far as what to say and what the products they offered was very, you know, he was very knowledgeable of that. When it came to critical thinking, when I gave him different, you know, change and different bills and stuff like that, when it came time to think and do the math on his toes, think on his feet, he couldn't handle that very well. So that stood out for me. And that wasn't the only occasion. It happened again at another fast food place I stopped by, ordered something. The female behind the counter gave me the food. I paid and I gave her some extra change so that I can get certain bills back. And when I got the change back, again, there was a huge discrepancy in the change that she gave me back. So again, showed me that they know how to push the buttons and how to, you know, stuff about the food, but when it comes time to think on their own, that's really not there. So that programming isn't taking, you know. So that stood out for me. Anyway, so and that goes along the lines with this Common Core, which is something big right now. A few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, there was an incident in Virginia where there was a parent-teacher forum, or what they call it, a town hall meeting. And one of the parents started asking questions about the Common Core. And the questions for the school, what they call them, it's either like the school board members, they already had submitted certain questions and pre-asked and pre-answered and everything. So the few parents didn't had other questions to ask. So this video is on YouTube. You can look this up. So this one father started asking questions, and within a minute or so, the security guard comes up to the father and starts, you know, talking to him, and pulls out a badge and starts pulling the father out, and, you know, like if he was a criminal or something. He's just asking questions. So it's pretty interesting that, so this Common Core, Jan Irving on his Gnostic Media podcast has had several guests on, like Clint Richardson and Freeman Bird and a few others, and they've talked about this Common Core, and they've mentioned how Common Core is a program that's coming out of India, but yet it's funded by the U.S. So that way the U.S. kind of doesn't get attacked for it. So they'll fund it, but they have it as originating outside the country. And this Common Core is supposed to be a global universal education systems to try and have everyone on the planet, the future generations, all taught the same way, thinking the same way, and educated the same way, or lack thereof. So, and someone else whose information is on my website, whom I recommend you listeners go and check out, is Dr. Rima LeBeau. She brings up some very interesting, troubling information also. Some information that was brought to her by a, I don't remember her name, I think something London, Dr. London or Kathy London or something like that. But like I said, it's on my website. Watch the video, Gnostic Media, Jan Irving interviewing Dr. Rima LeBeau. And so they bring up this information about autism and the vaccinations, and how it compares to Brave New World, Aldous Huxley's book Brave New World, about the alphas, the betas, the deltas, epsilons, and stuff like that. How you have a certain dumbed down population which doesn't really think for themselves, but yet they can be programmed to be like a computer, where they can do a repetitive job over and over again without questioning. So Dr. Rima LeBeau points out that that looks to be what autism is catered to do, because she shows articles mentioning how there are certain companies, corporations, that they're looking to start having a percentage of hiring of employees that are autistic, because they would do the certain repetitive jobs without thinking or questioning things. So you can pass this by like, you know, that's very kind of them to give employment to, you know, handicapped, quote unquote, or, you know, challenged, you know, people. And you're like, wow, that's very noble of them. But yet, when you step back and look at a bigger picture, that is being done intentionally. The vaccinations, increase of vaccinations over the last few decades, the increased number of autism, and now to try and start creating these jobs for autistic or challenged individuals, you know, it's, you can say, oh, that's all coincidence, but then again, there's no such thing as coincidence. Remember, everything happens for a reason. Things are the way they are because someone somewhere wants it that way. Remember that. Okay, All right, let's see. Moving along here. All right. I just did a few notes here real quick at work, so some of the stuff might not even make sense. But like I said, I'm just trying to lay something down here because it's been a few months since my last show. So, all right. Now, one thing I did kind of come to realize is that, let me see. It feels like I know a lot more than others know. Okay. Not saying that I know it all or more intelligent, but it's almost like I've gotten a bigger picture of what's going on as compared to others. And what I mean by that is there are probably people out there that will know everything about Federal Reserve and that's it. They might know everything about alternative energy, and that's it. They might know a lot of stuff about possible alien visitation or UFO stuff, and that's it. Or they might just know, you know, everything about chemtrails, or they might know everything about GMOs, or they might know everything about vaccination and autism, or they might know everything about secret societies, New World Order, Skull and Bones, Illuminati. You know, so those are a lot of different categories, a lot of different parts, pieces, a lot of different dots. Now, the thing is that a lot of people think that it's just this or just this or just that. And very few people, I think, I've come to realize that very few people think of the possibility that everything is connected, that it's all part of the same thing, just different branches. And the main part that ties it all together is the people. The people aren't aware, they don't know, they don't care to know. And truth is the bottom line. There is truth in there. There's truth. And I don't mean people try, mainly like New Agers or some people who try and think about this too much tend to mention like, there's my truth, your truth, we all have our truth. And yes and no. And some people might disagree with that, but let me explain. Yes, it's true that when I was 11 years old, I was running through a yard back in New York and this broken bottle pierced my sneaker and cut my foot. That happened to me. That's true. So yes, I do have my truth. But the thing is that is my experience. That is what happened to me. So that is true for me. And everybody else has their own things, their own experiences, which are true to them. That's their truth. Okay. Yeah. That's the microcosm. But the main thing here is the way to look at this is my accident, my cut on my foot is not something that affects the whole state of the world, all right? Not all of humanity. So it really doesn't matter. And that's the thing. So again, that goes along the lines of people with their law of attraction, of their believing that they create their reality. This New Age stuff about, well, we create our reality, and you think, yeah, I create reality. I just have to think love and peace and nonviolent thoughts, and everything will work out. Yeah, maybe in your personal immediate life right here, you know, with whatever, you know, within 20 feet of yourself or whatever, yeah, that's affecting you, but that doesn't affect the whole world. It doesn't work that way. It's kind of like all the pieces together are forms the aggregate, the whole collective. Okay, now truth is that humanity is being oppressed. All right, that is true, because if we're all paying taxes, we all have to follow laws or rules, submit to some authority. That is truth. All right, that's the truth right now. But the real truth is that we all are all free. We're all sovereign beings, But right now we're in a condition, the human condition is of slavery. We're, right now the humanity is in the condition of slavery. Even though, no matter if you want to believe that or not, that is the truth. And there are very simple ways of proving that. Just stop paying your bills. Just try and move to another part of the world without having a passport or any money or anything. And you will see how there are forces that will prevent you from doing what you want. Now, I'm not talking about violence, you know, harming people, because that tends to be a quick instinctual thought by people, that when you say you can do whatever you want, you're free to do whatever you want, right away, people tend to think, oh, so I can just go and beat somebody up, or I can hit somebody, I'm free to do that. Like, no, see, that's the programming they're running. Violence with the TV shows and movies and society, that's one of the first things they run to right away. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm talking about, free to do what you want, is to build a home in the mountains if you want. But you're going to get local agencies coming out saying you need a permit, you need to buy the land, you need to, you know, do this, have these requirements, blah, blah, blah. So that's what I mean when I say free to do what you want, but you're actually not. And to travel, you need a passport, or you can't just, you can't just do it just like that. You can try and walk, all right, but you probably need to pay for airfare or a bus or get a car or something. That's going to cost money. So there are a lot of things set up that kind of restrict you from doing whatever you want, and you have to comply to somebody's rules or set up way of doing things. So anyway, I might just be rambling on, but that's my normal thing. Okay, so that's what I was trying to get across here, is the truth. That is that singular truth which affects all of humanity, all right, the whole planet. That's truth, not your own little individual thing. And so, you know, I come across this with some people when they say, oh, there's my truth and your truth and we all have our truth. And like, nah, but that's not what we're talking about. You mean individual experiences. That's what we each have. Now, the truth, like I said, that's the global thing. That's what's affecting all of us. That is truth. All right. Anyway. All right. Moving along. Let's see. I'm going to skip around some of this stuff. There was a previous comment I made in one of the earlier episodes about perception and reality. And there's one little word there that changes that whole thing. I know it. I probably came across as saying, yeah, we create our own reality based on our perception. You know, the car, the bumper and the headlights, blah, blah, blah. That creates our reality. No, I was wrong about that. All right. Or I was mistaken. Okay. Now, the word that I could put in here that will really explain this better or really make it make sense is we have our perceptions of reality. All right. So that makes a big difference. Reality is what it is. Now, it's up to us whether to align to that reality. All right. That means how we perceive reality. All right. So if we perceive reality as, let's say, authority, that the police officers have the right to do this and the right to do that and their authority and they can do it, that's our perception of reality. So then we live in a reality where the police can do whatever they want because we believe we're under the perception that they have the right to do that. But now when we change our perception of reality and realize the truth that they are human beings just like the rest of us, and if we don't have the right to do something to anyone else, to use force for coercion on anyone else, then no one else has the right to do that to us. No matter what badge or papers they have waving in front, they're just human beings just like the rest of us. See, so that perception of reality is what needs to change. All right. And that is what has the current slavery happening on this planet. that the masses, the 7 billion, believe that the few hundred thousand or a few million have the right to write these laws and collect these, commit this extortion, also known as taxation, and things like that. So since the mass of humanity is under the perception that that is reality and that's the way it has to be and should be, that is why we're suffering right now. That perception is what needs to change. And not only on this end, by the masses, but also by the ones who are performing these acts, the ones who are enforcing or carrying out these acts of violence. That's what it is violence. And there's another problem with people not understanding words, their origins, or what they actually mean, and that's part of the dumbing down of the population. Very quickly, I don't know if I mentioned this in the last podcast, but violence and force are two different things. Violence stems from the word violate. So when you commit violence, is that you are violating someone's rights. And the word rights comes from the word right, just like right and wrong. So if you have the right to do something, it's because it is right. Okay? And if it's something that's wrong, you don't have the right to do that because it is wrong. Like stealing something from someone or harming someone, committing, using coercive force against someone. And that's the difference between violence and force. Force we use all the time. When you stand up, you're using force. You're pushing against gravity to lift yourself up. When you open a door, you're using force to pull or push that door. When you're walking, you're using force to move your one foot in front of the other. We're constantly using force. Now, force can also be applied to cause damage, to harm someone, which is like punching, kicking, forcing someone, using an instrument against someone, causing them bodily harm. So that's the use of force. Or also, force can be used to steal from someone, to take stuff away from someone. Coercive force, like taxation, or it's like when you're run a red light or something, or do some kind of traffic moving violation, and just because the authorities think that this will solve the problem, they say that you need to give up these Federal Reserve notes, this, you know, these talismans. Because does that actually fix the problem? Does that prevent you or stop you from doing it? No, you already did the act. That doesn't stop you. It's just using coercive force to extract money from you, and that's a form of mind control to try and trigger you, hit you where it hurts, kind of like, you know what I'm saying? That if they take enough money, or $150 didn't do it, then $250, $300, it'll get to a point where you're like, ooh, wait a minute, I guess I better not do this because I don't want to lose any more of my God, my, you know, my deity little things here, my talismans, because that's how it works. They make money appear to be something that you can't live without, and if you misbehave, then we will take this from you. So that's, you know, using coercive force against you. So anyway, so going back, that's the difference between violence and force. Violence is violating your rights, and force is something you have the right to do. Like if someone tries to rob you or harm you or do something against you, they are committing violence against you, and you have the right to use defensive force to protect yourself and to stop them from doing whatever harm they're trying to do to you. So that's my quick little summary of violence and force. All right. One other little thing here I wrote down, something that I realized, is that some listeners may and may not be familiar with a researcher by the name of Michael Tesserian. Michael Tesserian's been doing stuff here for maybe 25 or 30 years, and he covers a lot of information. I've had documentary screenings of some of his work, like Architects of Control, and So he does a lot of good work explaining the psychology, the mind control that goes on, why humanity thinks the way it does, and things like that. And so he also talks about, your regular conspiracy, quote unquote, things, you know, like the Republicans, Democrats, the oligarchy, the New World Order, Illuminati, and things like that. Now, the reason I bring this up is that a few months ago, he was on another radio show, Santos Bonacci show. And after about 2 hours on there, towards the end, he came to a conclusion. He mentions a conclusion he came to after, 25, 30 years of doing all this research. And he said that humanity isn't ready to be free. Humanity's not ready to free itself. That humanity has gotten so lazy or so used to being led that it can't think for itself, that it won't free itself, that humanity's gonna have to be led to freedom. So basically, someone or a group are gonna have to give humanity its freedom, which it already has. By definition, humanity, every living being, is its own sovereign being, okay? And sovereign comes from the Latin sober, which is above, and reign, which means rulership. So above rulership, basically meaning no slaves, no masters, all right? So every living being is sovereign, but humanity just won't do it on its own, or there are very few that will do it, not enough for a critical mass, all right? So this is something he came to, a conclusion he came to after 25 to 30 years worth of research. Now, what's amazing about this is that I came pretty much to that same conclusion after 6 or 7 years of my research, before I heard him mention it, all right? And you might recall in one of the earlier podcasts, maybe podcast number 2, that I did mention about obfuscating, about making things, giving a definition for something that's different from what it actually is, or the opposite, obfuscating, hiding what it means with something else, what it doesn't mean, that might be how humanity is going to have to be given its freedom. So, like have a group get into positions of quote unquote power. Basically have the good guys take over and then give the people their freedom, when in actuality we know the people are free. They are free people. They just didn't realize it. And then just pull back and let the people realize that they're free. If I'm making any kind of sense here, I don't know. But basically that, I was thinking this way already before listening to that Michael Tesseri in the interview, that humanity won't make itself free on its own until a few give humanity its freedom. So that's basically what I wanted to point out. And that I came to that same conclusion after only about 7 years. So that's it. Okay, let me see what else I have. I have older notes here from a few months ago that I originally was going to do episode 4 with. And some of it's kind of dated. It was a few little film reviews that I wanted to bring up. Let me see what I wrote down here. Olympus Has Fallen. I wanted to point out the opening attack. In that film, if people have seen it, there's an attack at the White House, and there are a few things that point out, raise questions about 9/11. For one, there's a cargo plane with guns that makes it into the U.S. airspace at the Capitol and starts shooting, but yet there are surface-to-air missiles that are on top of the White House and things like that and start shooting at the plane. Where was that during September 11 if the Pentagon got attacked? Question number one. Point number two. This one's more like the construction, the architecture kind of side of it. The plane hits the Washington Monument, clips it, and Washington Monument tips over from the point where the impact was above. The rest of it doesn't collapse. So that's kind of like the World Trade Center. The planes hit it at a certain floor, so you would think the collapse and damage would be from that floor up, but yet the whole freaking building came down. So, you know, so that again brings another question, like, what the hell? And then I think there was a third part. What was the third part? It was the building. The airspace. When the plane infiltrates in the movie, when the cargo plane with the guns goes into Washington airspace, we see two military jets come up and challenge the plane right away. Where was that during September 11th? So there are about three things in this movie that made you say, hey, wait a minute, this didn't happen on September 11th. What's going on here? So wanted to point that out. And then there was that movie Oz the Great and Powerful. I just wanted to point out that in the film, if for those who have seen it, I think even in the original Wizard of Oz, the Oz uses some smoke and mirrors, kind of, to say the least. He has the smoke rising up and projects his face on the smoke, and the people who that, since the people aren't familiar with technology or this quote-unquote magic, they think he's all powerful, he's a god, and they start, you know, like ooh and ah with the you know, his face on the smoke. But we know that's just smoke and mirrors. But it's that kind of stuck out for me, because for those in the research community, they might be familiar with the term called Project Blue Beam. And Project Blue Beam is supposed to be some kind of projection technology that would be projected in the sky to show some, you know, to be used in any way to kind of, I guess, fool the masses. So you can project an alien invasion, you know, UFOs flying around, or if you want to go religious, you can project a messiah coming, and, you know, or a god speaking, and people will be like, wow, because they don't understand the technology, the science, or the magic. See, and that's something that was hinted at in that Oz the Great and Powerful. And I wanted to bring that up. All right, let's see. I had a few other things here, but real quick, Sony Pictures. Sony, they own a few movie studios like Screen Gems and Columbia Pictures. Now, if you ever stay during the credits for any of these Sony Pictures, at the end of the film, towards the end of the credits, they show the logo for Sony. All right, it says Sony, and under Sony, it has two words with it. And these two words are pretty interesting. When you're pretty open, you have a pattern recognition or you're symbol literate, you start picking up these little hints that are thrown your way. Now, like I'm saying, at the end of these credits, you'll see the word Sony, and under Sony, it'll have the word make, period, believe, period. So now, you take those two words, put them together, make believe. So that's fake, right? It's make believe. Oh, that's only make believe. But if you notice, each word was separate, it had a period. So it's basically said Sony, make, period, believe, period. So right there, that's subconsciously hinting to you that they make it for you to believe it. Although it's make-believe, it's not true, it's not real, it's being made for you to believe it. So that's pretty interesting how in the words right there, that is their logo or their whatever, their call sign, whatever you want to call it. But that's something I wanted to bring to people's attention. How a lot of things are right there in the open and just go in one ear, out the other for a lot of people. And that's part of the problem. So we need to start developing some pattern recognition, some symbol literacy, critical thinking, develop the trivium. That way we can use some grammar, logic, and rhetoric. And, you know, that's something I wanted to bring up there. All right. I'm going to skip a few things here and save them for another podcast, because we're about 40 minutes in, 45 minutes or so. Let me just scan through the notes here real quick. to see what major things I wanted to point out. Oh, another movie quote here that really stands out that I wanted to throw in is Nicole Kidman in the movie Australia from a few years ago. Her character had a line that also stands out, and she says something to the effect of, "Just because it is, doesn't mean it should be." See, so just because it is, doesn't mean it should be. So again, that goes back to this like belief in authority, or what are you gonna do kind of attitude. Well, no, just because things are the way they are, again, that's that perception of reality. See, so we see things, that's how it is, and that's how the only way it can be. That's not true. We see something, we can change it. See, don't accept it. There's always a way. And that takes me to another movie line from Jurassic Park, the original Jurassic Park, where Jeff Goldblum's character says, "Life finds a way." Okay, life always finds a way. That's true. All right, and we see this all the time, that life finds a way. And I had written a few examples that are pretty kind of either cheesy or very simple. All right, I'll go into those real quick here for a minute. Some of it's kind of stereotypical. All right, they might say, "Oh, that's racist," or whatever. No, but that's an example that I want to use. Like the way Hispanics or Mexicans are made fun of, that, you know, there's like 10 or 20 Mexicans in a house or in a car or whatever, and people get a laugh out of that, haha. But what is that an example of? Life finding a way. Humanity always finds a way. You have homeless people, all right? They make fun of homeless people, well, living in a cardboard box. Yes, they may do with what they have. They always find a way, a cardboard box, or I saw somewhere where in New York, in the cold weather, this guy was taking phone books and ripping out the papers and putting it inside his jacket for insulation that would help keep him warm or something. See, so life always finds a way. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but hopefully you get the idea here, that there are times when humanity, when their back is up against the wall, when they have no other choice, they'll try something different, all right? And that's the situation today. That's the problem with the world today, is that even though humanity is in a slave condition, there are a lot of trinkets, a lot of comforts, all right? So the slavery is very comfortable, okay? Now, that's here in the U.S. or any of the big Western societies, all right? But we see a lot of the chaos or revolution happening in smaller places, or, you know, like Egypt and Greece and stuff like that, because they're realizing, hey, wait a minute, this shouldn't be this way, and they're starting to you know, fight back. Whereas here in America, we all have our 24-hour drive-throughs, we have the SUVs, the smartphones, the, you know, hundreds of channels on satellite, the internet to do everything. So there's a lot of distractions, so people really don't care. Now, if all that gets taken away, then we'll probably start seeing, you know, the American people start, you know, maybe hopefully start putting things in, you know, more of a priority. Like, okay, we don't need this stuff. We need the food. We need the shelter. We need the food, shelter, the housing, the clothing, you know. So hopefully that's it won't get to that. But those are, you know, kind of the things that you can see in society, where the people's values are at, you know, all the materialistic stuff, and not really the basic necessities to survive. So anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. All right, let's see. What else I have? Well, since I do a lot of the movie stuff, before I was going to do this episode 4 last time, the new Superman movie, Man of Steel, was coming out, all right, and I had written down a few quotes here from Man of Steel, just like I did a few episodes ago with the original Superman. This remake, or this reboot, Man of Steel, had quite a few lines in the dialogue that to me, they stood out kind of, you know, just talking to humanity. It was like addressing humanity. So if you take Superman and replace Superman for humanity, or, you know, humans, man, it kind of starts painting a picture that makes you say, hey, wait a minute, they're trying to tell us something. So anyway, just real quickly, we had in the preview for Man of Steel, we had Kevin Costner playing the Earth Father of Superman. He has a line that goes like this: you're not just anyone. One day you're going to have to make a choice. You have to decide what man you want to grow up to be. Whoever that man is, good character or bad, he's going to change the world. All right? So, again, you could look at that and be like, yeah, it's just a movie line. But no, imagine that's talking to humanity, every one of us. All right? We have the choice. We can grow up and be a good person or a bad person. Whatever we do, it's going to change the world. Now, that goes along the lines of something I've learned about free will. Everyone knows or thinks, you know, we have free will. I can do whatever I want. I'm free to do whatever. Yes, we have free will. But the main component that a lot of people forget or don't take into consideration is consequence. We have free will, but we don't have free will without consequence. So that's kind of what I got from that quote. All right. So, you know, again, good character or bad, he is going to change the world. All right. So we can do good things that'll change the world. Those would be the kind of consequences. Good consequences start shaping the world we want. Or bad things, again, that'll start shaping the world in a bad way. Consequences that we don't want. Slavery and suffering and oppression. All right. Okay. Now moving along. Russell Crowe, his character, he was the biological father of Superman. And he had a quote in there that went like this: you will give the people an ideal to strive towards. They will race behind you. They will stumble. They will fall. But in time, they will join you in the sun. In time, you will help them accomplish wonders. All right? So now that quote, what I took away from that was, again, the humanity, all right? You have some in humanity, some beings that know what's right and what's wrong, and then you have the majority of the people who are lost, all right? They're stumbling over themselves. They keep making the same mistakes or causing suffering in the world, all right? But there's the few that can teach them, have the rest of humanity follow. They'll try and learn. They'll stumble. They'll fall, all right? But in time, you can help them accomplish wonders, all right? So that's what I got from that, okay? So basically, they need the leaders, all right? That's almost along the lines of what Michael Tesserin was saying. Humanity by themselves, they're going to be blind, just stumbling and making mistakes and not knowing whether they're coming or going. But if you have a few who are, you know, I guess kind of good at heart, all right, and well-meaning, good intention, and, you know, that do not have a service to self, they have a service to others or to truth, all right, to good, they'll teach the rest of the people the right things to do, the right choices to make, the right way of thinking, and then the people will learn and you know, the world will get better. So that's what I took from there. Now, I have a quote from Superman that was played by the actor Henry Cavill. So Superman had a quote here in the preview where he says, my father believed that if the world found out who I really was, they'd reject me. He was convinced that the world wasn't ready. What do you think? See, that's another powerful thing. Now, that shows, I can associate that with the truth seekers and free thinkers and you know, the researchers and the lecturers and people who are quote-unquote conspiracy theorists, but I prefer to say the truth seekers and free thinkers. Those people, see, they're different, all right? There's very few, statistically, it's a very low percentage of people who know what's going on and are speaking it, all right? Now, a lot of us, like me, look at how long it took me to do this fourth episode. It took me a while. Why? Because I kind of had lost hope. I had given up in a way. It was like, man, all the stuff I put out there, it really doesn't look like it's making much of a change. Or you know, I would get resistance and people, you know, just negativity and things. And you're like, you know, what the hell with this? The people, you know, let them get what they deserve. But that's, you know, eventually you know what's right and what's wrong. And when you know that there's a problem and, you know, that people don't know what's going on, it's your obligation. You're obligated to speak the truth, to speak what's right, to do what's right. And so that's why eventually you got to keep making these podcasts, keep the website up and running, add new things, keep holding meetups, and just keep doing it because it's the right thing to do. And if you don't, you're just as guilty as the ones, you know, causing all the problems. But anyway, so yeah, that Superman thing. That's, yeah, see, thinking that the world isn't ready, and that's the problem. Yeah, the world might not be ready, but if you don't put it out there, if you don't try, if you, you know, don't keep putting the word out there, it's never going to get traction. It's never going to grow, so never give up. All right, Russell Crowe again, Superman's biological father. This was an interesting one. This goes to the things about immunization shots, vaccines, and the autism and the Common Core education system. All right, listen to this quote and tell me this doesn't resonate with that. All right, quote, "What if a child dreamed of becoming something other than what society had intended? What if a child aspired to something greater?" All right, listen to that. Okay, here's a movie talking about what if the child... if the child chose what he wanted to do and what he wanted to be, all right? Look at that, okay? Other than what society had intended, all right? So that's pretty much, you know, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a soldier, you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to be this, you're going to be that, you're going to work at the fast food place. See, that's society intending, but the child, what if the child's like, no, I want to do whatever I want, see? Imagine that freedom, imagine that sovereignty in children to become what they want without any coercion, without any force, telling them you have to do this, you have to do that. So yeah, that's a line in the movie. So, all right. And then one last line here by Kevin Costner, the adoptive father. He says, "I have to believe that you were sent here for a reason, and even if it takes the rest of your life, you owe it to yourself to find out what that reason is." And that's pretty much the same thing that's for all of us, humanity, all right? We can either just decide to be here, to work at Circle K, to work at the post office, to work at the fire station, just to work these jobs, and never pursue, you know, what we really want to do. That ties in with the child, the child's dreams, what the child wants to be. You know, fulfill our purpose, create our own reality, all right? That, you know, that might sound a little bit, hey, wait a minute, you said perception, reality, but no, but we are in control. That is true freedom. That is true sovereignty, where you do what you want to do, all right? And nothing about, well, I'll stay in this crappy job because it pays $100,000 a year. Are you happy? Are you living your life the way you want to? Are you serving your purpose? Probably not. All right. So that's all I wanted to say about that. I do have a few other notes here, but I'll re-edit this stuff for another episode here. Hopefully I can get inspired again after listening to this show to start doing a few more shows. Maybe once, not every week, that's pushing it, maybe once a month. And every once in a while, maybe have a guest or someone on every other show or something. I know the way I started these shows that it sounded as if I was going to give the progression of what brought me here. And the first episode was that with the Kevin Trudeau CD. But there was a lot more after that. And I can recap that probably in the next show. I can just do a quick summary of all the other steps that brought me to where I'm at now. But the main thing is that there's information out there. the ones listeners of this show who already know what's going on, you guys already know what's going on. Okay, I might drop you know, a few names here or there of some stuff that you're not aware of, but for the most part, you're already in the right direction. Now, for new listeners, people who have never heard this kind of stuff before, visit the website. FreeYourMindAZ.com and WhatOnEarthIsHappening.com. But on FreeYourMindAZ.com, there's a tab on the top that says websites. Click on that and you'll see a long list of quite a few websites. And there's a lot of information on there. All those websites have videos or lectures or articles to read or all kinds of stuff. So basically the kind of stuff you don't see on TV. All right. And if you're listening to this, if you made it this far, then you probably were, you know, heard something that you liked or sparked your interest. Because I can tell you, humanity right now, unless you have a lot of money, all right, you're probably not too happy, okay? And even if you have money, that creates more stress, all right? But that's something else I'll talk about hopefully in the next podcast, about some of the meetups that I attended where I brought up the problems with money. And you can see how the ones who have money didn't really see a problem with money, and they kind of took offense to the attacks on money. So you get the idea. All right, then. So this worked out pretty good, just under an hour. Okay, so that's going to be it for this episode 4 of Guy Next Door Speaks for Wednesday, October 23rd. This is Ivan from Phoenix. Go to the website, freeyourmindaz.com, and check for upcoming meetup events and things of the sort, things of the like, whatever. Okay, so that's going to be it for this show. Thanks for joining me. And I got to come up with some kind of sign-off. I know before I said something about good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, something like that. And I know there was a TV show, a newscaster used to do something like that. But yeah, maybe I can copy that in a roundabout way. Because since I'm recording this podcast and you can listen to it whenever you want, you might be listening to it in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening. So maybe that's how I'll start ending the show. So maybe it'll go something like this. So thanks for joining me on Guy Next Door Speaks. Until next time, good morning, good afternoon, or good night. Be well.